Acts chapter 20 is where we're going to start this morning. Today is Sunday, January the 9th already. Wow, 2022. We are actually going to look in Ephesians this morning, but before we go to the book of Ephesians, go to Acts 20. I want to just give you a little background. During the time that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was imprisoned, and he was imprisoned for a little over 2 years in Caesarea, and then they took him to Rome, and he was in prison there for a little while. And then after that, you know, Acts tells us he lived 2 years in his own hired house. But during the time that he was imprisoned, he wrote four epistles. He wrote the epistle of Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, and the book of Ephesians. And Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus, and they dearly loved him. And on his way to Jerusalem, which he was not supposed to go, but he was going anyway, as you know. On his way there, he wanted to meet with the elders in Ephesus, and he went to Miletus and had the elders come and meet him there in from Ephesus in Miletus. And that's what's recorded in Acts 20. A lot of what happened in Ephesus you can read in Acts 19 as well. But I thought, just as a little background, here in Acts 20 was the last time Paul was with those folks in Ephesus. And then when we get to reading the book of Ephesians, we have a little more flavor of who it was first sent to. So if we start in Acts 20, verse 17, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus. We're in Acts 20, verse 17. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Paul just shared it all with them, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. God was trying to warn him. But none of those things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's what he preached, the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Kind of a final farewell. I'm not coming back here. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Again, he's speaking to the elders there in Ephesus, those that would have been responsible for people. And he's telling them, look, you're not going to see me anymore. I've shared it all with you. Now take care of those people. Feed the flock of God. God is the one that put you over those people. Feed them. For I know, verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Ego. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. It's God and the word of his grace which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. God and his word will always build us up. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Wow, what a sight. Mm-hmm. And they were sad too. Verse 37. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Mm-hmm. And Paul went to Jerusalem, and all hell broke loose, and he was arrested and all that. So, with that little background, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. We are going to, this morning, just read the first three chapters. And, you know, with a little bit of that background, imagine what it was like for them to get that epistle, you know, when it first arrived. It's like, oh my gosh, we got a letter from Paul. So you saw in Acts 20 there how much they loved him and cared for him. We also saw that he taught them, bled his heart out to them for like 3 years, taught them everything. And you'll notice as this chapter starts in the opening, it's pretty clear the things that God has done for us and given us was all his decision, his choices to do what he did. So this is not going to be an in-depth study of the first three chapters of Ephesians. That would take us days, really. And it's not an outline. I just wanted to read it together with you and point out some highlights. Not all the highlights, but some highlights, okay? So, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Pretty familiar verse, right? We think about that often. All spiritual blessings. God has blessed every single believer with all spiritual blessings. So we're not lacking. No wonder it says in Colossians, we're complete. Right? And so he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And this, it's not in our good works, it's in Christ. It's what Christ did that we have all of these things. According, verse 4, as he has chosen us in him, Christ again, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Then in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by your good works. No, just checking to see if you're reading along. No, by Jesus Christ, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. This was God's good pleasure. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved one. And that would be in Christ. Accepted means highly favored. God has highly favored you and me. There are people you might not be highly favored with. But when it comes to God, we are highly favored. He loves us so much. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Again, it's in whom? In Christ. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. This is all God's great plan. That in the dispensation or administration of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom, again, it's referring back to Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him, God, who works all things after the counsel of His own will. God didn't have to confer with anyone. God didn't have to get a committee together and go, what do you think of this plan? This was all God's great plan based on His great love for us and because Jesus Christ carried out the plan so that God could put this in for us. To the praise, verse 12, of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. This is how it works. People hear the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And you know, a few weeks ago we talked about hearing, right? Those that get born again have ears to hear. They go, okay, I accept Jesus Christ as Lord of all people. I believe God raised Him from the dead. They believe it. They're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And that Holy Spirit of promise, it says it's the earnest, it's the token, it's the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. And that redemption of the purchased possession, that's when Christ comes back. And while we wait, and we certainly would like for it to be today, who would not want to be gathered together in a new body and meet Jesus in the air right now? Amen. Anyone here got something pressing that you'd want God to wait a few more minutes?
Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. Not even the Cardinals. Oh, my gosh. The redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord or your believing in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then this is the first prayer here in the book of Ephesians, and we looked at this in a little more detail several weeks ago, if you remember. So, here's the prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. And this is God's prayer, not just for the believers in Ephesus. God has no respecter of persons. These epistles were, so like it was sent to Ephesus, but they're to be circulated. And I think I mentioned once before that of the seven church epistles over the centuries, the order has never changed. So this is our mail. This is written to us, for us. So this would be God's will for you and me too. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. And He is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And then this is what God did. Put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Nobody gets missed. All in all. We all have all spiritual blessings. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. It says we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead because we had no spirit life. Okay? Hard to get born again if you're not living, right? But a person that's not born again, that is living, is dead in sins. No spirit life. Verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. We keep in mind that the believers there in Ephesus were not Judean background. They were pagan background, right? It's over there in Asia. Paul traveled everywhere. Some great things happened in Ephesus when Paul was there. You know, I've been to Ephesus. What a blessing. back in radio days when I got to go on those free trips, one of the trips we went on, we took an excursion. It was a cruise. Mm-hmm. And we took the excursion and went to Ephesus, which I forget if they said it was 10 or 20% excavated. And the same main road, which is made out of marble, that Paul walked on, wow, is still there. Wow. And you know, it was just, yeah, I get chills thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, and if I could go back, I would pack tonight and leave at midnight to go to Ephesus again. It was just to be where the Apostle Paul was for 3 years. The amphitheater where they went crazy and screamed for 2 hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians," that's mm-hmm. been excavated. Got to walk down into that. But it was a pagan place, and Ephesus was the center of Diana worship. Mm-hmm. You know, and all their main income, the economy was based on the little Diana shops, you know, where you get all the Schwab, all the trinkets, all the statues and all that. So it was a pagan place. So he's reminding them, verse 2 in chapter 2, "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." It's so important to remember that God is the prime mover when it comes to love. It says in 1 John, we love him because he first loved us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." God is love, the Bible says. Why he loves us, I don't know, but he sure does. "God, rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. All that we have is by God's grace." And grace in the Bible is unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. It's a gift. All grace is a gift. And all that God's given us is by his grace. Can't earn it. Don't deserve it. "By grace ye are saved." And then verse 6 says, "And raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ." Isn't that interesting? We're seated in the heavenly realm with Jesus Christ. What did it say in chapter 1, verse 20? It says, speaking of Jesus Christ, "which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." Verse 6 of chapter 2 says, "raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Mm. We're with him. We're not there physically, right? We're here in Dave's house. This is not the heavenlies. It's a beautiful place, but Dave, I'm sorry, it's not the heavenlies. Doggone it. We're not there physically, but from God's point of view, we are there right now. And when Christ comes back and we get our new bodies and meet him in the air, the Bible says, "So shall we ever be with the Lord." Well, what a great verse. Made us sit together in the heavenlies. Have a seat, kids. This is your position with my son in the heavenlies. Wow, talk about love and grace. Verse 7. "For by grace are you saved through believing, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Again, it's grace. It's grace, and we received it by believing. Does he really need to put verse 9 there? "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Because if it was works, you know, you could just tell people, "Hey, look, I got it. I worked pretty hard to get it. I hope you can work as hard as I did. Maybe you might get it sometime." Nope. Nobody can boast. It's like it says in Romans, you know, where it says that now are we the righteousness of God. After it goes through that whole section, it goes, so where's boasting? It's excluded. There's no boasting. No boasting at all. "Not of works," verse 9, "lest any man should boast." You see, it's by believing. In chapter 1, verse 13, it said, after you you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed and you were sealed. So it's by believing. Whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And Romans 10 says, confess the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. All by believing and by grace. It's not of yourselves. Verse 8 again. For by grace are you saved through believing, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. As I heard a great Bible teacher say one time, we don't do good works to get saved. We do good works because we are saved. Wherefore, where are we at? Verse 11. Wherefore, remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. Remember back when you were Gentiles. And of course, the Jews called the Gentiles the uncircumcision because they were the circumcision. That at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. They may have had other gods, may have had other hopes, but they did not have the one true God and they did not have the true hope. But now, that was then, but now, and this is true for you and me, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both, this is Judean and Gentile, both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, of two, of the Jew and Judean, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both, Judean and Gentile, unto God, in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, that'd be the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, the Judeans. For through him we both, Jew and Judean and Gentile, those that are born again, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Access to God Almighty. Anybody in here have access to the governor of this state? Mm-hmm. You just walk in and go, hey, I need to speak to Ducey for a minute. No. But everyone in this room has access to God Almighty. How blessed we are. How privileged. It's just God's love and grace. Now, therefore, guess what? You're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Wow. Oh my gosh, you read that verse and you just melts you. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, he was a prisoner at this time. If you have heard of the, it should say administration. If you have heard of the administration of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. The mystery, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. But what a great key to get understanding. Read God's word. Which in other ages, talking about this mystery, was not made known unto the sons of men as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery, this great big secret that God had and told no one until he revealed it to Paul. God now no longer wants it to be a secret. He wants us to understand the mystery pertaining to Christ. And here it is in verse 6. This is that great mystery. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The American Standard Version has it, to wit, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel. Mm-hmm. Reverend Cummins' Working Translation has it this way, namely that the Gentiles should be joint heirs and joint members of the same body and joint partakers of the promise, or what was promised in Christ Jesus by the gospel. Bloodline no longer matters. Yes, I can trace my lineage all the way back to Abraham. Good for you. That's nice. I hope you have some wonderful family reunions. Probably special. But it means nothing. Bloodline means nothing. Male or female, nothing. Bond or free, does not matter. All believers, whether they come from a Judean or Gentile background, every believer is an heir of God. An heir of God. And number two, there are no longer two groups, Jews and Gentiles. Nope. Right. Nope. For the born again ones, we're all one group. It's one body. Christ is the head of the church, the one body. And number three, all believers, Judean or Gentile, are partakers of what was promised in Christ Jesus by the gospel. This was like revolutionary. The mystery was. I suppose to the Gentiles who had heard about how special Israel was and God's chosen people, for Gentiles hearing this, they're like, whoopee! There were a lot of Judeans that just had a hard time with this.
Sure.
Had a real hard time with this. But it's God's word, and it was a great secret. What a great secret. Verse 6 again, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all see what is the fellowship or the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things, period. By Jesus Christ is not in the critical Greek text. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the believing of him. Boldness means to speak freely, openly, frankly. Just speak without holding anything back. In chapter 2, verse 18, it says, we both have access to the Father by the Spirit. Every born-again believer has boldness and access to the Father with confidence through the right way of believing in Christ. Verse 13, wherefore I desire, this is really something, this verse, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. You know, they knew Paul was in prison. People that just, you know, loved him, you know, word got around. And he didn't want them to be discouraged because he was in prison. You know, those people spent a lot of time with Paul. He didn't want them to get discouraged. He didn't want them to be depressed. He didn't want them to lose heart, give up, especially in light of difficult situations. And really, no matter what the situation is, you know, we try to do our best to not get discouraged in difficult times. And the Word of God and His grace and His love can build us up. When we know someone who might be getting discouraged, depressed, feeling like giving up, what should we do? Tell them to just renew their mind. Come on, renew your mind. Why don't you just get over it?
Yeah.
That helps, doesn't it? Why don't we do what Paul did? He said, I don't want you to be discouraged. read it again. I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. So what did he do? Prayed for him. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family on earth is named. And here's another prayer in Ephesians. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Quite a prayer. I don't want you to be fainting about my situation. I want you to be discouraged. Here's my prayer for you. Bam! Wow. It's quite a prayer that Paul wrote by revelation. Would this prayer not be God's desire for you and for me? Yes or no? What do you think? It was just for those guys?
Yes.
Yeah, I was talking to a lady recently and she goes, oh, no, that was just for those people back then. You're talking about a particular topic in the scriptures, the epistles. No, that was just for those people. I went, well, then what good is it to read any of the epistles? Why do we even have them? Well, you can't pick and choose. No. If you can take your scissors and cut a section out and say, that was for them, well, then I can get my scissors and cut out a section, say, well, I think that was, and pretty soon you have an empty Bible. This prayer, this is God's heart for his people. And let's just read it again. Verse 14, as we get ready to close here. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Here's the prayer. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You know, there's a figure of speech here. It's called transposition. Because normally it would read grammatically correct. It would be strengthened with might in the inner man by his Spirit. But in the Spirit comes at a different place. And the figure is used to draw attention to the fact that the strengthening is accomplished by God. And the strengthening is accomplished by information which originates with God, and which he communicates however he chooses. God is the great communicator of information, and he can communicate however he wants to. A burning bush, writing on a wall, a jackass speaking that you talked about on Thursday, Linda, right? And of course, the greatest place God communicates information, his written word. Or revelation that he could give you, or revelation he gives someone else who helps you by speaking God's word. That he would, verse 16, grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by believing, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Wow.
Yeah. How blessed they must have been. You know, this is very different than the book of Romans. You know, Romans kind of just sets a foundation. These people, you know, had Paul around for 3 years. He said, I haven't shunned anything. I've given you all I got. And now for them to get this, wow, it must have built them up. And obviously there's so much more in this epistle than I just, you know, pointed a few things out. The seven church epistles are just full of great truths for the born-again ones. And God's desire for us is to understand. And like Paul said, whereby when you read, you may understand. We keep reading and reading and reading and asking God to give us more understanding, right? And I speak for me, but at times I just slow down and read. Kind of let it sink in, you know? Not like I eat some kind of food that I like. I eat it fast. Oh, this is good. Well, this is God's word. It's food. And sometimes, you know, we can slow down and, you know something else I do once in a while? I'll just sit and read it out loud. You know? And, you know, that definitely limits some of the distraction, you know. Have you ever been reading God's Word and you start thinking about something, then you go, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I'm sitting here reading God's Word, now I'm thinking about supper tomorrow night. I go, what am I doing? But sometimes I like to just read God's Word out loud. It's God's wonderful Word. And so this morning I just wanted to point out some highlights from these three chapters. And next Sunday we'll do chapters 4 through 6 and just look at some highlights there as well. Awesome. So Father, thanks for your wonderful Word. And that, God, it's real, it's living, and it's very relevant to our day and time. And Father, how blessed we are to know that you are concerned when we're discouraged, when we're down, and that, Father, you are the one that can lift us up. You are the one that can encourage us, and especially through your Word. And that, Father, when we know of others that are having a tough time, Father, we can just, with the love of God in our hearts, pray. So thank you for your Word, for your wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for your great love and grace to each and every believer, and for all you've done for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Amen.